In today's gospel, we just heard proclaimed, "And behold, I am with you to the end of the age." And I thought of that long time period, the end of the age. And as I said earlier, we Dominicans are celebrating our 799th year. During our novice tour, we were out on the road, and you get a little cheeky after a while. Well, I guess that's always for me. But one of my classmates had a conversation with one of our parishioners at one of our parishes. And the person said, "Well, is the Dominican Order, have you guys been around for, how long you been around?" He said, "Not very long." So the person said, "Well, how many years you been around?" He said, "Well, almost 800. And the confused and perplexed person said, "Well, 800 years is a long time." To which the brother responded, "Well, the Benedictines have been around for 1,500 years. And the church has been around for 2,000 years. So 800 years, relatively speaking, is not a very long time." But it is. Next year, at this very stage, we'll be celebrating our 800th anniversary. As I said, longer than Father Vic, longer than our country, a real long time. Well, how is it? How is it that this charism, this Dominican movement, has been able to last 799 years? Well, I think it's because of the many ways we can fulfill one of the mandates we were given in today's gospel, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So I'd like to look at how some of the saints over the centuries have done that, and how we are called today to do the same. So of course we got to start with Saint Dominic. He didn't leave a lot of writings, but we know a lot of secondhand information about him. We know that he was a holy man. We know that he tried to find truth everywhere he could find it. He was a canon, which means he was attached to a cathedral, and his bishop asked him to go on a diplomatic journey with him across Europe. And as they were traveling, he came across preachers who were very good preachers, but what they were preaching was not very good. They were distorting the gospel. So Saint Dominic engaged in conversation with them to try to bring them back to the fullness of our faith. One of the most famous stories about Saint Dominic is as he was traveling, he was in an inn, and he spent the entire night talking with the innkeeper back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. After hours, all night long, the sun was coming up. And finally, the innkeeper said, "Yes, you have something here. I have fallen into error, and I will come back." Let me spell error for those of you who don't get my New York accent. E-R-R-O-R. Error. All right. But it wasn't so much what St. Dominic said, it was how he said it. All who met him said he was a holy man. If you've ever met a very holy person, it's almost frightening to look into their eyes because you're like, uh-oh, they can see all of my sins. I've shared this before. This one cloistered nun I met terrified me. She was so holy, you can just tell. So St. Dominic did use his words to preach, but his holiness also spoke volumes about what he was trying to say. 2 years after St. Dominic's death, a young man named Albert would enter the Dominican Order. Albert would go on the churchy side to get many wonderful accomplishments. He would be a provincial, he would be a bishop, and eventually he'd be named a doctor of the church. But St. Albert's pursuit of God, St. Albert's pursuit of truth, took him beyond theology, beyond philosophy. He sought God everywhere. A few hundred years after his death, St. Albert's writings were collected into 38 volumes. Yes, he wrote about theology. Yes, he wrote about philosophy. But he also wrote about botany, geology, astronomy, mineralogy, zoology, physiology, phrenology. Anybody know what that word means? I had to look it up. Anybody know what phrenology means? What's that? Yeah, they kind of play with your skull and figure stuff out. Yeah. Who knew? St. Albert knew. There was also justice, law, friendship, and love. St. Albert sought God in everything that he encountered, as we should. So God isn't just on Sundays, but everything we do, no matter what you're studying, no matter what your job is, everywhere we go, we have to look to find God. Because of his wonderful works, because of his holiness, St. Albert is known as Albertus Magnus. I love saying that. Albert the Great. One of St. Albert's most famous students, if not the most famous student, was who? Thomas Aquinas. Good for you. St. Thomas Aquinas. Aquinas, too, sought God in just about everything. One of St. Thomas's greatest works was called the Summa Theologica. When the Protestant Reformation happened, to answer all the questions, the church called the Council of Trent in 1546. And at the Council of Trent, they put the scriptures up on the table, and they put St. Thomas's Summa right next to it. St. Thomas's Summa was about 3,500 questions about God. And of course, he gave answers as well. But another thing St. Thomas is famous for is looking outward. So St. Thomas, because his teacher Albert was an Aristotelian, read the works of Aristotle and understood and said, ah, these categories, these syllogisms, this logic is wonderful. We can bring it in to help us categorize and understand our faith. He also read the Jewish philosopher Maimonides and the Muslim philosophers Averroes and Avicenna. So he looked to say, ah, where can we find truth? Now, St. Thomas didn't say all religions are the same. In fact, if you read Summa Contra Gentiles, your ears will burn a little bit and eyes when you read some of the stuff that he has to say. He was truthful, even in his critiques. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas was not just a big brain guy, intellectual guy. He was also a poet. He was also a songwriter. Many of the songs that we still sing, Panis Angelicum, Tantum Ergo, O Salutaris Hostium, are some of St. Thomas's greatest hits. You can download them on Apple. And also, he was a mystic. Because he pursued God so much, God gave him that beautiful gift. God revealed himself to Thomas in a very special way. Building upon this artistic nature, we now turn to Fra Angelico. Because our church existed before the printing press, and because even in 1950, 50% of the world was still illiterate, the church said we need a way to get the gospel message to those who can't read, to those who do not have the scriptures. So Fra Angelico was an incredibly gifted painter, and he put that gift at the disposal of God. After I was ordained, my parents took me to the birthplace of Catholicism, Ireland. Then after that, we went to Rome, the Eternal City. In Rome, we took a train up to Florence, and we went to the Priory of San Marco, where Fra Angelico lived. And as you walked through, you saw every wall was his canvas. In every cell that the friars lived in, he would paint another scene of our Lord, another scene of the saints. When you stand there and look at these beautiful pictures, the scriptures come alive. The saints come alive. There are no words, but yet the word of God came alive through the painting. You can tell that Fra Angelico had this, again, mystical insights, and he was able to bring the word of God to those who could not read. So preaching the gospel is important, and sometimes we use words. Next, we'll look to a little more temporal of some of our Dominican saints. In our church, if I was at the Ambo, to my left, we'd have Rosa Lima, would be right over there. And then to my right, if we go around the pillar, we'd have St. Martin de Porres. Both of them lived in Peru, and they were contemporaries. When I was in formation, I went to Lima, where they lived in Peru, for a summer to attempt to learn Spanish. Still working on it. I've been to both Rosa Lima and Martin de Porres' houses. They weren't home, but I left a note. Neither one of Rose nor Martin had any formal theological training. Yet, when you read their writings and you read about their lives, you can tell they were in fact theologians, beautiful theologians. Both of them understood prayer, deep prayer, contemplative prayer, the kind that unites us with God. Both understood mortification for their sins and the sins of the world. And both of them worked tirelessly to assisting God in their neighbor. When you read the writings of Rosalima, you can tell that this is a woman who was intimately united with her God. Every word that she puts forth on the page, you can see God coming alive right in front of your eyes. St. Martin de Porres was a brother, no theological training. Yet we're told throughout his life, bishops and priests would seek him out and ask his opinion on difficult scripture passages and difficult theological questions. When asked, he would pray, and then he would come back with answers that floored some of the most highly educated men of the time. St. Martin de Porres and St. Rosalima absolutely were Dominican, and they preached very beautifully. They preached that union with God. They preached that love of God. Let's now look to a modern-day Dominican saint, one who you know very well. That would be St. Jerome of Benicia. You're only laughing because I'm not dead yet and I can't be a saint yet. But there should be lots of Saint fill-in-your-name of Benicia. We should all be saints in waiting. After the homily at the 7:30 Mass, I thought I should put a little mount on the wall there and put Saint ? Of Benicia. And we should all stand there and in humility say, God, one day may my statue be there because I'm worthy of being in union with you. 799 years ago, St. Dominic gave us this beautiful charism of preaching. So, we have to embrace that. In our everyday lives, we should always be reading something. Have a book on your nightstand. Have something on your electronic gizmo. Have a blog that's worth reading that you read. Something that lets us constantly think about God, feeding that intellectual curiosity we all should have. Today we have two very special guests with us. Well, many special guests, but two I'm going to point out. One is Father Mario. His parents are here. Raise your hand. They don't speak Polish, so raise your hand. Where do the parents go? Right there in the back. That's Father Mario's parents, all the way from Poland. And that's his sister, and that's her husband, yes? Good. Great. If you don't know Father Mario, he's stand up, Father Mario. There's Father Mario right here. He helps us out from time to time at our church. I mentioned Father Mario because what he's doing with his doctoral studies. Father Mario is trying to get the modern world to understand causality, to understand essence and nature and being and beauty. When the modern age happened, some, not all, of our intellectual, institutions have kind of pushed away the ancients. Pushed away the medievals, saying, no hocus pocus. Father Mario is working to say, no, guys, you need to take a second look at this. There's something here for you to see. He's trying to build that language that will allow our modern world to touch base with the medieval and the ancient world. Are you done yet?
Almost.
All right, good. We have another Dominican visiting us here, Father Peter Rogers. Many of you probably remember Father Peter. He came as a residency student in the 90s. Then he was ordained, what year?
2002,
right here, not here, but right there in Benicia. So Father Peter has been tapped by our province to now use the PhD that he earned in education before the Dominicans to help us in that intellectual pursuit. He's the new president of our school. So he's local. You all know him. He'll be walking around, so please say hi to Father Peter as we go on today. Whenever we study anything, whenever we fall in love with anything, that should move us to create, that should move us to want to share that with another. Think about it. When you meet the one, I met the one. Oh, I guess today it's tick, 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 post, I met the one, right? We want to share that with the world. So if you're a preacher, if you're a talker, then use that voice that God has given you to preach the gospel to our world. If you're a writer, then yes, use that gift you've been given to write. Whether that's books or magazines or legitimate good posts on Facebook, yes, we can use that for evangelization. Use your gift of writing. If you're an artist, create. Create music. Create art. A little later, Father Corin will be helping us do a little liturgical dance. That ain't happening. We should use those wonderful God-given talents that God has given us to give to our world. And finally, we have to love our neighbor as ourself. Not because God has commanded us, but because we should want to. So ask yourself, how is God asking me to love my neighbor? Sometimes we think that that's, you know, the starving person in Africa. We had a wonderful missionary come and we gave him a lot of money. Your generosity is incredible. And yes, we need to do that. But sometimes the person we're asked to love might be a little bit closer. Might be your spouse. Maybe a little nicer to your spouse. Might be your family. Might be that person that you work with that's really, really, really annoying. It's true, right? Ask the workers that work with me, all right? So loving our neighbor could mean that. It could mean loving our next door neighbor. So at 3 o'clock in the morning when they're blasting their radio, you call the police, of course, and have them arrested. But in the morning, you wave at them with all five fingers as you go to work and say thank you for turning your music down. So 799 years ago, St. Dominic started a very beautiful movement, and it's lasted 800 years. It's our job to embrace that. It's our job to discern how we are to put that into our lives. It's our job to make sure that 800 years from now, my successor to the 19 millionth power will be standing here celebrating this Mass and celebrating the 1599th anniversary of St. Dominic founding our order.